I don't know how often you have thought about it, maybe how often you've said it, but we tend to take for granted the blessings that God has given to us, don't we? How many ways has God blessed you today? Not how many ways has God blessed you this year, not how many ways has God blessed you in your life. How many ways has God blessed you today? There's a statement that's found in the letter to the church of Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3. This church that the Lord had nothing good to say about the church at Laodicea. And as Jesus wrote this letter to them, they claimed to be rich. They claimed to be self-sufficient. In Revelation chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, they boasted about their self-sufficiency. And you get to about verse 18 of Revelation chapter 3, and Jesus says to them, "You know, if you knew anything, if you truly had your mind about you, you would come to me, and you would buy from me." And he says, "In order that you might be rich." Are you rich? When you look at your life tonight, are you rich? In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, in verse 9, the Bible says that Jesus was rich. When Jesus was in heaven, how rich was he? That's what 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 is talking about. Jesus was rich. What did Jesus not have when he was in heaven? Before Jesus came to this earth and was born of a virgin, what was not at Jesus' disposal? Jesus had all the riches of heaven right there in his hands. But the Bible says that he who was rich became poor. He became poor. And he became poor in order that those who are living in poverty, not talking about any financial situation, but talking about poverty in a spiritual sense, that those of us who are in poverty, he who was rich became poor in order that through his poverty, you might become rich. How rich are you? We said at the beginning that we often neglect, we often forget, we often lose sight of all of the blessings that we have as children of God. When you think about your life as a Christian, brother, sister Christ, I've got news for you. You're rich. You are rich in the blessings and in the riches of Christ. And that's what I want us to talk about tonight. I want you to get your Bibles and go over to that passage in Ephesians chapter 1. And I want us tonight to see just how rich we are. And over these next several Sunday nights, we are going to continue to investigate some various themes in the book of Ephesians that help us to understand how rich we are. You know, when we think about riches, when we think about poverty, when we hear those words, we are filled with economic, material, monetary, financial ideas. We can't escape them. Tonight, I don't want you to worry about how much money you have in the bank or how much money you don't have in the bank. I don't want you to worry about how much you owe the creditors, or for those of you who could say it, how much you don't owe the creditors. I don't want you to worry tonight about how you're going to make the next rent payment, how you're going to make the next car payment. I don't want you to worry tonight about whether your car insurance is going to go up because of what your teenager did while he or she was driving last week. I don't want you to worry tonight about whether the gas prices are going to go up or go down. Tonight, we're not talking about financial, monetary riches. Tonight I want us to investigate the riches of Christianity. And specifically tonight, the riches that we have through Christ. And in order to help us to see just how rich we are, Paul begins this letter to the churches of Ephesus in order to show us that when we look at the riches of God, we can see the quality of these riches. We can see the nature of these blessings. And what God tells us in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 is that the greatest blessings of God are not material blessings. Has God blessed you materially? Has God blessed you financially? Has God blessed you with things? Well, of course He has. Isn't that what He promised to do? In Matthew 6 verse 33, Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Philippians 4 verse 19, Paul was commending the church at Philippi for their liberality in giving, and he told them that God is going to supply, in verse 19, all of your needs through the abundance of His riches. Does God supply us with things that we need, with material things that we need, better than anyone else can? Every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from our Father of light, in whom there is no shadow of turning, in James 1 and verse 17. So everything that we have, including every material blessing that we have, is from God. But those aren't the greatest blessings. Those aren't the riches we're talking about tonight. The greatest blessings that God gives to us, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, the Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every," what kind of blessing? "Spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ." The greatest riches that you have nothing to do with how fat your wallet is. The greatest riches that you have to do with how fat your soul is, how wealthy your soul is, because the spiritual blessings of God have everything to do with the welfare of your soul and its eternal destiny in heaven. There's nothing better than that. There's no account balance that you're going to receive in the mail this week that's any better than that. Than to recognize that the greatest thing that God can do for you is to bless you spiritually, is to bless your soul. It's what Dan talked about this evening as he talked about the contribution and as he prayed before members had an opportunity to give to the Lord, and understanding that God blesses us, not just physically, materially, God blesses you spiritually. How rich do you feel tonight? How rich do you feel in Christ tonight? How full is your soul in the blessings of God? We're going to talk about those blessings and what they are. But the first thing that we see is the quality. Quality of God's blessings cannot be matched. They are spiritual in nature, touching our very souls. But look again, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. God not only shows us the quality of these blessings, God shows us the locality of these blessings. He shows us where these blessings are located. God doesn't hide these blessings from us, does He? He doesn't tuck these away from us and then send us on a wild goose chase. Where are these blessings located? Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. The Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ." God told us where they are. He didn't hide this fact from us. He didn't tell you, I am going to bless you spiritually, and then not tell you where you could obtain those blessings. God gave you the treasure map, if you want to look at it that way, to find the treasure. God gave you the instruction manual on how to find true riches. They're not going to be found in the world. They're not going to be found in the stock market. They're not going to be found any other place than in Christ. Well, where is that? It's interesting that this chapter begins about, this chapter begins in verse 3, saying that all of our spiritual blessings are in Christ. Notice how this chapter ends. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, the Bible says that God, the Father, has given Christ to be head over all things. Who's the head of the church? Who's the head of your life? Who's the head of everything? Christ Jesus. God gave Him, Christ, to be head over all things to the church. To the what? To the church, which is His body. What is the body? It's the church. What's the church? It's His body. Now, for those who are in the body, for those who are in the church, what do they have according to verse 23? For those who are in the church of our Lord, those who are in the body of our Lord, what is found there at the end of verse 23? The fullness of Him who fills all in all. The chapter begins, where are the spiritual blessings? They are in Christ. The chapter ends, where is the fullness of Christ? Where are those spiritual blessings going to be found? Where are all of them going to be found? In the church. I think Dan said it tonight, that one of the spiritual blessings that we have, that God has given to us, is His church. And in order to find those spiritual blessings, I must be in Christ. But in God's eyes, there is no difference in being in Christ than there is in being in His body. You cannot be in His body unless you are in Christ. You cannot be in Christ unless you are in His body. They are one in the same. And God says that's where His spiritual blessings are. Now, wouldn't it be something if God told you where the blessings were, but He didn't tell you how to get there? What if God told you, yeah, that the blessings, they're over there, but He did not tell you how to obtain them? Does that sound like your God? Did God tell the Israelites where the promised land was? Did He tell them how to get there? Did He tell them what to do in order to obtain the bountiful blessings of that promised land? All they had to do was go over and take it, but they had to follow God's instructions in order to do it. That first generation didn't listen, did they? The first generation, Hebrews chapter 3 says, that because of their disbelief and their disobedience, they did not enter the promised land. Why? Did they know where it was? Yeah, they knew where it was, but they didn't follow God's plan on how to get there. They didn't get the riches, the blessings, the treasures of God. God has told us His blessings are in Christ. Now, how do you get there? He tells us how to get into Christ. God has given us the treasure map, the map on how to find His treasure. And it's interesting that He tells us every step that we are to take to reach it. The Bible says that we are to believe, have faith in our hearts. And Romans 10 and verse 10 says that that faith, that belief, is unto righteousness. That's one of the riches we're going to talk about this week, or not this week, but in this series of lessons, the riches of righteousness. In order to go unto a righteous life, the Bible says you've got to believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Son of God. But that just says that you're going in the right direction. You are headed unto righteousness, but are you in it yet? doesn't use that word. The Bible says that as you continue on that path of faith, that you must repent. You must change the way that you think. Repent away from sin and repent toward Christ. I want to turn away from sin and turn toward Christ. And when I make that turn in my mind and in my heart, the Bible says I make that unto life. Or unto salvation, 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10. Have I reached my destination yet? No. I'm walking on this path of faith. On this path of faith, I have turned unto Christ, but I'm still unto. I'm not there yet. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 10, it says, while I'm on this path of faith leading me in the right direction, because I've turned in the right direction toward Christ, the Bible says, I must make a confession of Christ. Confessing that I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But that confession is still unto salvation. The belief is unto righteousness. The repentance is unto life. The confession is unto salvation. But I'm still not there yet. I'm headed in the right direction. But I haven't reached the destination yet. The Bible says, in order for me to get into Christ. Well, why in the world would I want to get into Christ? Because that's where the spiritual blessings are. Because that's where the riches of Christ are going to be found. In order to get into Christ, Galatians 3 and verse 27 says that I must be baptized, immersed into Christ, and there I obtain the blessings of God that cannot be measured by material standards. You know, it's hard to convince people about the wealth of Christianity because it's not necessarily something they can see. You know, you can convince me of your monetary wealth. You just write me a check. I'll be convinced of your monetary wealth because it's something I can see when I get to the bank and I put it in the bank. But it's hard to convince somebody, isn't it? Of spiritual blessings, of spiritual wealth, of being rich in Christ. Here I am, a Christian. Are you a Christian tonight? Have you experienced the wealth that there is in a relationship because you are in Christ? Colossians chapter 3. Verse 2, the Bible says, set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. Because verse 3 says, here's what you need to do. You need to live your life. Notice these prepositions that have been on the screen. We believe, our hearts believe in Christ. We repent toward Christ. We make a confession of Christ. We're baptized into Christ. And then when we are in Christ, Colossians 3 and verse 3 says, you need to keep on living with Christ in God. And as you continue to walk in the light, as He is in the light, one of the greatest blessings of all is that He continues to forgive you of your sins. Do you feel rich tonight? Do you feel rich that the quality of blessings that God has for you? Think about that. They're not material. What if God, when you came up out of the waters of baptism, what if God gave you $1 billion? Would that be something? That'd be something, wouldn't it? What if God gave you $1 billion, Cornelius? Would that make you happy? See, there's a smile. Would that make you happy? Boy, our baptistry would have a line into it, wouldn't it? Here's $1 billion, but guess what's going to happen to that $1 billion? You're going to waste it. What's going to happen to that $1 billion? Somebody's going to steal it. What's going to happen to that $1 billion? It's going to burn down when your house catches on fire. What's going to happen to that $1 billion? The stock market's going to crash. Whatever's going to happen, what's wrong with that $1 billion? It's material in nature. Remember what Jesus says? The moths come, the rust destroys. You buy all of these fancy things with your $1 billion, and where does it end up in 10 years? In the junkyard next to all the other cheap stuff that's out there. But God's blessings are spiritual. They don't wear out. They don't break. They don't need new batteries put in them. They don't need an update every once in a while. It's not like iTunes where you have to get a new update, a new version. Every time you plug in, when it comes to the blessings of God, there are no updates. They continue to bless you no matter what. That's their quality. But as you continue and you look at their locality, they are in Christ. But then we come back to verse 3. And we look at verse 3, and then when we look at the riches of Christ, we need to see how exclusive they are. In Ephesians 1 verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with" what? "Every," or your translation might have the word "all." "He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ." When I become a Christian, when I am baptized into Christ, are there any spiritual blessings that I'm missing out on? When I get in Christ, I'm in the right location. When I get into Christ, I am surrounded by the right quality of blessings. When I am in Christ, are there any blessings outside of Christ? Once I step into Christ, have I abandoned some great blessing, some spiritual blessing out in the world that once I get into Christ, oh, well, I don't get that one anymore? The Bible says that every spiritual blessing is in Christ. What does that mean? That means there's not a single, solitary, little, minute, possible blessing spiritually outside of Christ. As you begin to think about the blessings that the Bible talks about, their being in Christ, the Bible says that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. What does that mean for people who are outside of Christ? Oh, they got every bit of it. There's none in Christ. Every bit of it's out. Think about that contrast. No condemnation in Christ, every bit of it outside of Christ. What's in heaven in Revelation 21 and verse 4? There's no tears in heaven. Well, if there's no tears in heaven, where does that mean all the tears are? Oh, they're somewhere else. That's where all... The Bible says there's no pain in heaven. Focusing on the word "no." There's no pain in heaven. Well, that means there's pain somewhere, right? Well, where's all of the pain? Not this pain. It's a different pain. P-A-I-N. The P-A-Y-N-E's are over here. Okay, that's the right pain. But the pain of hell is over here. There's no condemnation for sin for people who are in Christ. What does that mean for those outside of Christ? Every spiritual blessing exclusively is found in Christ without exception. Come back. See another thing. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. That we not only see the quality of these blessings. We not only see the locality of these blessings. We not only see the exclusivity of these blessings, but we see how these blessings came about. Where did these blessings come from? What was the cause of these things coming into play? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Look at the word "blessed" in that verse, by the way. We're going to get down to verse 6 here in just a second. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's done what? Blessed us with every what? Spiritual blessing in Christ. That verse is just chock full of blessing. And it's only in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption by sons, by Jesus Christ, to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Now look in verse 6. Where did all of these blessings, how did these blessings come about? What is the causality of these blessings? Verse 6. To the praise, some translations say, to the praise of His glorious grace. Can you think of a better adjective to describe the grace of God? To the praise of His glorious grace, by which, the New King James says, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. If you've got a New American Standard, Old American Standard, it says there that not only should we give the praise to the glory of His grace, but it's by His grace that has been freely bestowed upon us in Christ. I want you to see this picture of the grace of God. Verse 6 says, it is a glorious grace. There's nothing like it. You can't compare anything else to the glory of the grace of God. Verse 6 says that His grace was freely bestowed upon... What did we do to earn the grace of God? Freely bestowed. Did we pay for it? Did we earn it? Could we offer an amount to God that He could bestow? No, it has been freely bestowed upon those who are in the blood. But now look at verse 7. In Him we have redemption. Through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the what? The riches of His grace. There's the glorious grace that has been freely bestowed. What? His grace freely bestowed on those who are in Christ. Verse 7 calls it the riches of His grace. Try to measure that one. Verse 8 says, which He made, the New King James says, which He made to abound toward us. I think it's the ESV or New American Standard, maybe both of them. They say, not only did He make them abound toward us, but it says that God made His grace to lavish on us. How did these spiritual blessings come about? Where did they come from? You know, you have these blessings, they're not material in nature, they're spiritual. They are located in Christ, and they are only located, every single one of them, in Christ. How did they come about? They came about by the glorious grace of God that He freely bestows upon those who are in His beloved. How much of His grace? The riches, the overflowing abundance of His grace, which He has not only given to those in the beloved, but that He has lavished. When you get a gift from somebody, do you mind if they lavish it a little bit? God has overflowed in His grace toward us. Do you feel rich tonight? Do you feel rich that you have the best blessings that can ever be, spiritual ones? Do you feel rich tonight that if you are in Christ, you are in the place to receive them? In fact, you are in the only place to receive them, the exclusive place. Do you feel rich tonight as a child of God? Do you feel rich? To know that God's riches of His grace, that they have been abundantly bestowed upon us. When did God do that? Look in verse 4. The Bible says that the grace of God started planning before the world ever began. Before God ever created the world, His grace was already at work. Before man was ever created, before he ever sinned, the grace of God was already planning how He was going to take care of that sin problem. God planned the crucifixion of Christ before He created the world. God planned the church before He ever created the world. God planned your salvation by His grace before He ever created the world. Has anybody ever done anything like that for you? Do you not feel rich that somebody had that in His foresight even before anything was made? But then we not only see God planning it before the world began. Verse 7 says that God's grace suffered and bled and died on that cross. In Him we have redemption through His blood. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, verse 19. Verse 19, Peter calls the blood of Jesus the precious blood of Christ. It's valuable. If you stood at the cross of Jesus with the blood running from His head, running from every part of His body, and running down and dripping off of His feet, the richest part of that scene is dripping down onto the ground in His blood. Because it's that blood that washes away our sins. It's that blood that purchased the church. It's that blood, and only that blood, that makes you and I perfect in the eyes of God. Do you feel rich? Do you feel rich to know that Jesus paid the ultimate price? Nobody else could pay it. Only He could pay that price. He paid the ultimate price, and He did it because of the grace of God. And at the cross of Jesus, I just want you to see God pouring out His grace, freely bestowing, lavishing His grace, not because of anything that we did right, but because of everything that we've done wrong. Brother, sister in Christ, you are rich. We don't even have time to look at the rest of this passage to talk about the immensity of these blessings. To talk about in verse 4, where it says that we have been chosen by God. Chosen. He's the one who determined. He's the one who set out the perimeters, the boundaries. He's the one who said, those who follow me, those who obey me, shall be my children. If you're a child of God tonight, if you're a Christian, God chose you. Does that make you feel rich? The Bible says that not only has He chosen us, but verse 5 says that through His foreknowledge, through His pre-planning, He adopted you. As a child of God, you are a part of His family. As a child of God, you have all of the rights and the privileges of Jesus Christ, the Son of God Himself. You're a child of God. You've been adopted into His family. I don't know if anybody in here, well, I know some people in here have been adopted. I know some of you have adopted children. Did you ever wonder, if you were to ever be adopted, did you ever dream about being adopted by a rich family? Remember that? Remember little orphan Annie? And how she was adopted by, who was a Big Daddy Warbucks? Man, what a great, if anybody was going to adopt her, hey, sign me up, right? I want to be adopted by Big Daddy Warbucks. Not by Big Daddy Warbucks, but by Big Daddy Warbucks stuff. I'll take that. The God of heaven, who surpasses Big Daddy Warbucks, who surpasses Donald Trump, who surpasses any other financial genius or financial company in this world, has adopted you. Do you feel rich? The one who's able to bestow all of these blessings, the one who redeemed you like a slave would be redeemed and bought for freedom. You see, we were slaves. We were in bondage to sin, and God paid the price to buy us out of Satan's hold, and the steepest of prices had to be paid, the blood of Jesus. Do you feel rich because God has forgiven you? You know, the idea of redemption and forgiveness are closely linked, but redemption is the idea that you have been bought out of sin. You have been purchased out of sin by the blood of Jesus. Forgiveness says, and all of the guilt for what you've done has been removed. You know, it'd be one thing to be bought out of that sin, but still carry the guilt. It'd be one thing to be bought, well, you're not in sin anymore, but you're still guilty for everything that you've ever done. Bible says God takes that same blood, He forgives it, and He remembers it no more. Do you feel rich? Do you feel rich as a child of God? Do you feel rich when down in verses 13 and 14, He says, you want to know, you want a guarantee? Verse 13 says, first of all, I'm going to seal you. I'm going to seal, not seal you tight like a Tupperware thing. I'm going to seal you as with a mark of ownership. I own you. You belong to me as a child of God. How do I know that? Because of the Holy Spirit that He gave unto us. But He not only sealed us, New King James says that He gave us a guarantee. God gave us a down payment. He said, you want to know for sure that you're my child? You want to know for sure that you have a destination awaiting you in heaven? He said, it's that Holy Spirit that He gives to everyone who believes in Him. I want you to think tonight, do you feel rich? Do you know that as a child of God, you are rich in blessings, and the reason that you are rich in blessings is because you are a Christian? The riches of Christ is because you are a Christian. You belong to Christ, and only because you belong to Christ are the riches of Christ yours. Do you belong to Christ tonight? If you don't belong to Christ, then you are not a Christian, you are not a Christian, and if you are not a Christian, then all the riches of Christ, all of them, are not in your possession. Not a single, solitary, spiritual blessing is yours outside of Christ. But if you're in Christ, every single one is yours. If you're a child of God, what do you need to do tonight? Three times in this passage, and you can check me on these verses, but three times in this passage, verse 6, verse 12, and verse 14. Three times in this passage, God says, if you want to respond properly as a child of God, if you want to respond properly to the grace of God, then let's do all to the praise of His glory. Is everything that you do to the praise of God? If it's not, then you need to back up and change everything that you do. Because three times in this passage, the Bible says God is overflowing His love and grace and abundance towards you. And what does He ask in return? Your praise for His glory. And brethren, let's do everything that we can to take the riches of Christ to others, to bring others to the riches of Christ, that they might enjoy the riches of His blessings in order that they might be a Christian. Are you a Christian tonight? We talked about the steps that God has laid out for us in order to get into Christ and how once we are in Christ, we need to continue to walk with Christ. If you're not prepared to meet the Lord tonight, will you come right now as together we stand and sing?